and welcome. My name is Paul Dollery and you are listening to the Football Family Podcast. A defeat for Ireland last night to start their campaign to qualify for the 2023 Women's World Cup, but a performance to be encouraged by, I think it's fair to say. To assess that 1-0 loss to Sweden at Tala Stadium, I'm joined again by the 42's own Emmett Duffy and Gavin Cooney. How are you folks?
Well, well.
All good, Doll. Thanks a million. Yourself?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Emma. I don't think anyone could argue with the outcome in terms of Sweden actually winning the game, because they were a really, really excellent side. But in the end, an unlucky slip from Savannah McCarthy and a very unfortunate touch off Louise Quinn was what made the difference. Now, given their quality, I'm sure Sweden would have upped the ante in the second half if the game had still been level. But still, there was a bit of a sense of wondering what might have been afterwards from an Irish point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. It took a while to gather the thoughts afterwards, I think, Dolls. Like we said earlier in the week, that a 1-0 defeat would have been a good result, and it is, but it's also so disappointing and I suppose a little bit painful just in the nature of the defeat. Like, the own goal, as you say, was so, so unfortunate and so unlucky. And like, as you mentioned, Sweden were top class. I thought they really piled on the pressure early on. But once Ireland kind of got to grips with it, they were set up really well defensively. And they did really, really well and battled all the way. They were unlucky not to sneak something coming down the home straight. But yeah, I think definitely a performance to be proud of and gives a lot of hope going forward. But it's just a weird space to be in, that we are disappointed with what would be seen as a really good result beforehand.
Sure, yeah. And next up for Ireland is that extremely important game away to Finland on Tuesday, which we'll chat about in more detail later on. And actually, before we delve into further into last night's game in general, I have three slices of humble pie here, one for each of us, very kindly delivered by Courtney Brosnan. I think all three of us expressed on the preview show during the week that Grace Maloney would have been the better option in goal. But a player of the match performance from Courtney Brosnan. Emma was joking about this earlier. I don't know if it's possible to pin a podcast to a dressing room wall as a source of motivation, Gav, but she really was very, very good last night.
I was hoping, maybe it's my own ego token, I was hoping she was going to round on her critics after it. Talking to Tony O'Donoghue, collecting her player of the match, Crystal. But she actually gave a very composed and very decent interview. She was, in fairness, she was absolutely excellent last night. Her distribution was fine, but she was just so assertive and so much more confident on the ball. Like, I mean, there was shots, like, I mean, you know, Sweden tested her from relatively close range, but she held on to everything, you know. Like, a lot of her mistakes in previous games came down from just clumsily, like spilling the ball, but she was really confident and her handling was really good, and she made several very good saves, you know. And that that long range shot from, was it Angeldal in the first half, that was a really good save.
Tipped it over the bar.
And there's a couple from close range from against Blackstone. So really good performance by Courtney Brosnan, fair play to her, and as softened this podcast cough a little bit, I think.
Emma was among the journalists who spoke to Courtney Brosnan actually after last night's game. Here's what she had to say.
Yeah, I think obviously we can be really proud of ourselves today. It's a tough Sweden team, and I think everyone worked really hard and everyone did their job, and obviously I'm fortunate with the goal, but I'm proud of how I came out and played, so I just got to do my best to try to help the team and keep moving forward in the campaign.
You hear the fans behind us today as well, looking
yeah,
at your jersey.
It's absolutely amazing to be back here, and obviously I think the crowd was 4,000 or something like that, so I think there's nothing like playing in front of the Irish fans, and we definitely heard them, and I think it helped us push forward, especially at the end when everyone's so tired, for sure.
On an individual level, Courtney, how good is that for your confidence, you know, player of the match as well, on top of all the fantastic saves and really promising display from yourself?
Yeah, I think, as I said, I've been working really hard, so it's nice to see that come across in a game with a good performance, and as I said, just help the team as much as I can moving forward.
Ireland goalkeeper Courtney Brosnan there, player of the match, speaking to the press after last night's 1-0 defeat to Sweden. Interestingly, I spotted Amber Barrett going down the touchline to warm up when it was still goalless, and she went and had a word in the ear of one of the ball girls who had been very quick off the mark in getting the ball back into play up until that point. I'm sure we could all hazard a fairly decent guess as to what was said, although unfortunately it was fairly irrelevant ultimately. Positive news for Vera Pau today as well. Gav, Denise O'Sullivan's arm was in a sling last night after the game, which made her chances of featuring against Finland look very slim, but seemingly she'll be fit to play, which is obviously a huge boost.
Yeah, word from the camp this morning is that she had a scan last night and it's relatively clear, so she's back training already today and she should be fine for Tuesday, which is breathe a massive sigh of relief, because it looked bad at the time. She seemed to be almost on the verge of tears as she left with her arm cradled in her jersey. She seemed a lot of pain, Denise O'Sullivan, when she took a collision with Ericsson just before the final whistle. And, you know, Vera Powell was very concerned about it full time. She said she's with the doctor now, but I'd prefer just not to think about that right now. But happily, she doesn't have to think about it for much longer, because Denise should be fine for Tuesday.
Yeah, that really is brilliant news. We discussed Katie McCabe's role on the preview show, Emma. The fact that it's a bit of a dilemma for Vera Powell in terms of where to play her. We did end up seeing her a lot higher up the pitch at times, especially in the first half. You could actually see from the body language of the Sweden players as well when she was in possession, the respect that she commands. She's now a player who strikes fear into the best teams in the world. So even though she wasn't able to score or create a goal for Ireland, that in itself shows why it's so important to have her in the right areas.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dahl, she had a few moments of magic, and that's what Katie does best. I just saw a clip going around on Twitter and I shared it there. A few nutmegs, you know, that Swedish girl has a family. I think, you know, things like that just really lift the crowd. And Katie plays her best football when she's closest to goal, as we said earlier in the week. You know, she's, I suppose there's a bit of talk around her perhaps maybe playing 10 for Ireland, which I think would probably suit her. But then again, as we spoke about earlier in the week, her defensive qualities are really important to this team too. But I thought, yeah, she did well last night, you know, playing higher up the pitch. Even just her presence alone, at halftime she came out and kind of was signalling over to young fans to get louder. Like, we really need you guys to be as loud as possible. And just, as you say, the respect she commands from other players, but also from fans, is unbelievable. Like, I'd say she stayed around afterwards till God knows what hour, signing autographs and getting pictures. And that's absolutely fantastic. You know, there's a real feel-good factor around this team, and they're really stepping it up on the pitch now, which is hugely, hugely important.
Yeah. Your thoughts, Gav, on Katie McCabe's display and how she was used?
Yeah, she was really terrific. And she ended up kind of quite deep left wing back / left back in the last quarter of the game, because Jamie Finn at right wing back had been booked, and that's the reason she was taken off. And you can understand that decision. I think I was thinking for a while about the equivalent of Katie McCabe in men's football, and it's probably David Alaba of Austria, you know, like, I mean, where you've got one top class, world class player that's head and shoulders above almost the rest of their teammates, but is so versatile that they're kind of moved about and played everywhere. And Austria's main problem at the Euros was the fact that they couldn't find a proper position and a consistent position for Alaba. And Austria always looked much better when they pushed him as far up the pitch as they could. And I thought Ireland were the same. I thought that, especially nearly in the first half, there was a little bit too much hook in the ball. I mean, like, a relatively measured pass for Heather Payne into the channels worked relatively well, but there are times where Ireland were just kicking the ball clear without even looking where Payne was. But when they could get McCabe in those positions on the ball, it just gave everyone a chance to breathe, you know, and it was a good out ball for Ireland. And she was creative, and she had the ability to beat a player when she had to do that. You can see how Powell would be conflicted, because, like, Jakobsen down the right was so dangerous. Anya Gorman did fine, I thought, slightly out of position against her. But, like, McCabe wasn't beaten once by her in that last quarter when she did go back there. So you can understand why you wonder for her defensive attributes, but, you know, because she has those attributes. But she has more attacking attributes that are more rare in the Irish team. So I think that need to push her on. I think they need to keep her in as advanced a position as they can for as many games in this campaign as they can, because they've a better control. They just control games better and look more like scoring. Now, it wasn't a perfect performance. I thought some of her set piece delivery was slightly poor, especially in the first half. She kind of skied a couple of long range free kicks, and Megan Connolly took over in the second half, and she again was kind of mixed from dead balls. So it wasn't perfect by any means, but it was still a very, very fine performance, and just confirms what we know, that Katie McCabe is. She's a world class.
And just on that as well, I think, like, her goal threat is massive. Like, she's one of the biggest goal threats that we have, whether it be from set piece or from the normal run of play. Like, we even saw, I think it was around the 10th minute early on in the game, she had a goal and it wasn't that far off. And, you know, I suppose that brought a lot more attention on her as well from the Swedes. But I just think, yeah, as we say, she needs to be playing further up the field to get the best out of her, because she is such a massive goal threat. And even not even just that, her assists, like we see what she's done with Arsenal too. She's just a huge asset in that, in an attacking sense.
And yeah. I thought, sorry, not to linger the point, labour the point too much, but I thought that the fact that she went, she had to drop deep in the last quarter did kind of hurt Ireland, because obviously they put Louise Quinn up front, and you know, people will argue as to whether that's an effective tactic or not. It is if you get the right type of service to Quinn, but Ireland played the kind of wrong passes to her. They were slinging it from deep rather than, you know, play a pass to get 25, 30 yards further up the pitch and then put a bit of width on the ball and put in the kind of cross that Quinn can attack, rather than always having her back to goal and try to flick it on for the runners around her. And had McCabe been slightly further up the pitch, they would have had that out ball. Like, the ball would stick if it goes to McCabe, and her delivery from open play is still better than anyone else's. So I know that, like, people have been critical of that tactic about using Louise Quinn, and you can argue whether it worked, because Sweden reacted instantly. They took Jakobsen off and put on a defender far. And you think, okay, Jakobsen has gone off now. McCabe doesn't actually have a direct opponent. Maybe they can push her up a little bit more. But I just thought that they missed her guile when it came to even delivering better crosses for Quinn. My issue was less that they put Louise Quinn up front than they just didn't use her effectively.
Yeah, sure. And just on Katie McCabe, as you were alluding to there, a great credit due to her and all the Ireland players for the amount of time they give to the young fans after every game. I'm sure it's much easier to stay out there signing autographs and taking pictures after a win, but they were there last night for more than an hour afterwards, and you could see how much it meant to all the kids. And not only that, but they do it with smiles in their faces as well. You can tell they have an understanding of what kind of an impact it can have on a child to have that kind of experience with people who are their idols. Like, I saw one little girl who was actually weeping purely because of how overwhelmed she was at being in the vicinity of Katie McCabe. My own daughter actually refused to leave the ground until she got to see Louise Quinn. So we were about an hour behind schedule getting home. But she was a very happy girl for that journey home. So it was absolutely worth the while. I suppose it's only an hour of the player's time, but it can create a lifetime's worth of memories for the kids who look up to them. And that's really important for the growth of the game among young girls especially. So fair play to each and every one of them for that. Emma, you've seen it on countless occasions now at this stage. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, and I'm probably slightly jealous, like, that wasn't the way when I was younger. It's just fantastic for fans coming to games, and young fans, and just, you know, the inspiration they can take from not only seeing their heroes play live, but meeting them and having such personal interactions with them afterwards, whether it be just a chat, whether it be getting a picture or getting an autograph signed. Like, you know, you said Louise Quinn there. I can't imagine she was in the best of form after the game, but she came out with a smile on her face, and she's just an absolute superstar. Like, they all are, and they deserve so much credit for what they do and what they give to fans after the game. I just think it's phenomenal. Like, even just before we spoke to Courtney, there were a few fans shouting for her jersey, you know, Courtney, give me your jersey. And she was like, I don't know if I want to, because, like, I had such a good night and I want to keep it. But I don't know what became of the jersey in the end. But, you know, I saw Niamh Farrelly, one of the substitutes, a few of the girls giving their jerseys away, boots, this, that and the other. It's just, you know, it means so little to them, but so, so much to the fan, to the young girl or the young boy that they're giving it to. It's unbelievable. It really is. And that's just what's so great about this team. They deserve serious credit for it, I think.
Yeah. I do remember meeting Dennis Irwin in a local Dunn Stores. It's probably about 30 years ago now, but I still remember it as if it was yesterday. So that can give you an idea of what kind of impact it can have on a child, you know, and it's definitely very, very much appreciated by the kids, and fair play, as I said, to all the Ireland players for that. Now, Gav, in terms of the overall Ireland performance, we touched on Katie McCabe already, but what was there to like about Ireland last night, apart from that, and also, I suppose, what were the areas of most concern?
Their structure was good. Their discipline out of possession was good. Like, Sweden, you know, Brosnan played well and had to make saves, obviously, when she made them, but she was never really under too much stress, I thought. Like, Ireland's setup was good. It was it was obviously very defensive, a five and a four, and then poor Heather Payne ploughing the loneliest furrow the Tallaght Stadium has ever seen. But it was good, and it was. And I know Vera Pau talked about this afterward, but okay, the goal that they scored was poxy as hell. Like, it was really jammy, but it was rooted in the first time really Ireland lost their shape in the first half at all. It's just Niamh had pushed on, a ball had bounced so invitingly, like she had to go and attack it. It was there, like it was so tempting to go for it, but she just, it was just nicked away from her at the last moment. And then Sweden, being the ruthless galaxy of attacking stars that they are, they slid the ball through for Blackstone Weeks into the space that Fahey should have been in. And then obviously she relied on a lot of fortune to score from there. But other than that, Ireland's structure and when they were out of possession was really good. It was a very clear game plan. The subs came on, knew what they were doing. Again, like, okay, Amber Barrett slotted into midfield. I'm not really sure that worked. She was a little bit overeager in terms of pressing, and pressing when none of her teammates had any energy left. So it was easy to slot the ball around her. And Rolfo finally got a little bit of space, got into the game in those last few minutes. But, you know, like we hardly heard anything from Rolfo. And like, she's one of their main attacking stars, you know. Okay, Blackstone Weeks was excellent, but they didn't give her any space with which to link the attack. So all that was good. Disappointing was the fact that they didn't really create chance of note. They didn't force the Swedish keeper to do anything. Some of their, you know, some like the outball for Payne is fine, but sometimes it was just lumped forward aimlessly, which is pointless because then it just comes back just as quickly and it's exhausting. And, you know, you've wasted one of Heather Payne's high intensity sprints. Like, even she only has a limited number across the 90 minutes like that. And some of Ireland's set piece delivery wasn't great either, you know, which is frustrating because that's their most obvious route to goal. But too many free kicks were flighted too high and wide. Megan Connolly, who I thought had a really good game in midfield, and should always be in Ireland's first choice 11. I'm not sure why she's been dropping out of late, but a couple of her deliveries were good, but a couple of them were quite poor and too close to the goalkeeper. So set piece wise, that's disappointing, but lots to build on. Like, that's a good platform. But the Finland game is another test in the sense that they have to be slightly more assertive and proactive in that game. And they'll be examined in parts of their game that they simply weren't examined in last night by virtue of the chasm between the two teams.
Yeah, Heather Payne obviously makes the journey over from the US for every game. I think she probably covered the same amount of distance last night in Tallinn, fairness to her. Any complaints, Emma, from anyone in the Ireland camp about the officiating? I know I was a bit baffled by a couple of calls made by the assistant referee who was on the West End side in the second half, but Louise Quinn and Denise O'Sullivan could possibly have had penalties as well.
Yeah, there were a few down the home straight in particular. I suppose, you know, when you're working at a game, your head's kind of buried in the laptop. You're trying to get it done for the whistle. You kind of don't see things fully until you watch them back. There were probably a few calls. We might have got away with one or two earlier in the game as well. But there weren't any complaints afterwards, Dolls, in that sense. You know, the general consensus from players and from Vera afterwards was they were disappointed, obviously, with the result, but proud of the performance and the display. And they made no qualms about how difficult it was going to be, but they were pleased with how they showed up. And yeah, they didn't resort to crying foul about any decisions that went against them, which I suppose is professional as they're going to be. But yeah, that there were no major complaints afterwards, I don't think.
Yeah. I was in line with an offside call on Leanne Kiernan in the second half, which I think she was about 5 yards onside.
Some of the offside calls are shocking. Absolutely shocking. Like, I was doing it from base and, you know, the flag would go up and the replay would be played and Lisa Fallon would say on commentary, not sure about that one. Honestly, it feels like every one of them was wrong.
Yeah, look, it's easy to say, obviously, when you're sitting up in the stand, but some of them were really, really bad. But anyway, let's look ahead to Tuesday's game against Finland. The performance last night, as we've been saying, should give Ireland confidence going over to Helsinki, and the games against Finland really, really do look like being the ones that will determine whether qualification is possible or not. To emphasise that, if Finland are to win, both they and Sweden will each have 9 points. Ireland will have none. And even with the game in hand, it's very hard to see a way back from there. Emma, can you tell us a bit about Finland and how difficult a challenge they'll pose?
Yeah, it does. They're probably a little bit more of an unknown quantity to us. So I've spent a bit of time trying to do a bit of research. Just on the facts that we know, they're ranked 25th in the world. Ireland are 33rd. They're yet to qualify for a World Cup or an Olympics, but they've been at the Euros before and they've qualified for 2022. The head-to-head with Ireland, they've played 5 times. Ireland have won once, drawn once, lost 3. scored 4 goals and conceded 5. And then just, I suppose, a little bit on their players. A lot of their players play actually in Sweden. There's some in Spain, some in France, Italy, England. There's a few at Brighton. Their captain, Tinja Rika Korpela, I'd say I've absolutely murdered her name there, but your luck. She plays for Tottenham. She actually made her 100th cap last night against Georgia in a 3-0 win. She's their goalkeeper. So, yeah, they have a few key players, I suppose, to look out for. Natalia Kuika seems to be a big one. She was their player of the year last year. She plays for Portland Thorns in the NWSL. So I'd imagine Denise O'Sullivan and Diane Caldwell will be well accustomed to her by now. Seems to be a serious operator, can play defensively or in midfield, seems to read the game really well with a serious engine. And then Juliette Kempe, she's their striker, seems to lead the line, really backs herself in front of goal with pace, power. Has recently moved to Sweden with Växjö, where a lot of her other teammates play. She moved there from London City Lionesses in England. So, yeah, even just watching clips of them, they move the ball really fast. They break at speed. They're really good on the counter, which can be a bit of a concern at times for Ireland. They kind of play a little similarly to Sweden in that they try to pull their opponents wide and then get it into the box. They look very solid defensively. They apply a lot of pressure on the player with the ball. They kind of hunt in packs. So yeah, a sizable challenge definitely lies ahead. And we know that they're certainly targeting second place, their second seeds. So we do need to take something from them, I think, in Helsinki next week. But then you've Slovakia there too. They're a strong fourth seed. So, you know, a tough challenge lies ahead, but I think Ireland will certainly take confidence from last night.
Yeah, Vera Poe in her comments last night seemed fairly confident that Ireland can go over to Helsinki and get something. Gav, it's not a must win game, but it's definitely a must not lose.
Yeah, I think it's like a draw away to the second seeds isn't bad, because then you'll get them back in Dublin near the end of the group. And hopefully, you know, like, imagine, like, if they need to win that to go through, like, that would be, what an occasion that would be. And you back Ireland in that. So yeah, absolutely. Vera Powell is interesting. I listened to her before the game as well, saying that the group is effectively the hardest group that they could have got. Now, look, there's bias there because they're in it and they're not in any of the other ones. But Slovakia look like they've improved. This is pure scoreboard journalism. But Slovakia do look like they've improved quite a bit. Like, they were beaten 6-0 by Sweden last year, and they only lost 1-0 to Sweden in this campaign. You know, and they're only beaten by a goal as well against... only beaten by a goal by Finland earlier on the campaign as well. So Pau is now saying that Slovakia are probably better than people have been giving them credit for, and they could in theory take points off Finland and Sweden and obviously Ireland down the line. So that, you know, it's that by those metrics, it might not be a disaster if they lose in Finland, but it'd be just such a momentum killer. There is actually a bit of, like, it's amazing for a side that have lost, what, 7 of their last 8 games, but there is an element of momentum about this Ireland team now, because, like, there's so much to take from that game, from that defeat to Sweden. They've beaten Australia, and this is a big game, but, like, if they do lose, then all of a sudden, like you say, they're already adrift, and I know they've got games in hand, but another cliche, but it's easier to have points on the board. So, keep, like, a draw would just keep the momentum going. Obviously, would deny Finland 3 points. So, yeah, a draw I think would be fine. And Ireland looked like a side that could easily get a draw away from home to that standard of opposition now, because we saw their structure and their organization last night. And if they could just add a more coherent counter attack, which hopefully that they will be able to against a lesser side not as good as Sweden. So you'd be pretty optimistic that they should get something in Helsinki.
Yeah, I think whatever happens, we're going to learn a lot about Ireland's fate in this group. RTE2 will again have live TV coverage of that game in Helsinki on Tuesday. The broadcast starts at 4 o'clock for a 4:15 p.m. kickoff. And we'll be back for another episode of The Football Family to dissect that game on Wednesday. For now, thanks to our members for supporting The 42. And don't forget that the latest edition of our sports writing anthology, Behind the Lines 5, is now available from the42.shop. It costs €12, but you'll get 20% off by entering the discount code 42Member20. That's 42Member20. Emma, Gav, thanks as always for lending your expertise to the football family. We'll be back again on Wednesday.